Blog Talk Radio.
Conservative Talk Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And the war is officially on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
And we're not talking about Republicans versus Democrats. We're talking about us against the rhinos.
McCollum got a big black eye tonight, huh?
What?
McCollum got a big black eye tonight.
I don't understand.
Oh, in, what, Kentucky?
Oh,
Grayson
lost?
Grayson lost. Grayson lost. Ah.
For all of you that don't know, it was a landslide.
Yeah, I guess. Jeez. He's closing in on 60%.
Yeah, it's a pretty. That was pretty sizable. Pretty sizable squat.
Mm-hmm.
A serious fiscal conservative.
Yeah.
I don't know how socially conservative he is. He seems to be.
I don't know. You know what? That I don't think is an issue that. At least got any national play,
right? This is the palination of politics right now. Is candidates are shoving the social stuff as far off the calendar as they can get it, and focusing in on security and finances.
Two biggies.
Which is just fine by me.
Yeah, no.
Especially after last night.
Oh, man, I saw part of that. Who the heck is that New York conservative person?
We've got some beliefs that he's actually a sock puppet account for a troll that we know.
Nah.
However... we'll get to that, because that's actually going to be a little bit of a time. So we've got a bunch of elections going on around the country right now.
Do you know that Oregon isn't even reporting?
Well, they shouldn't be. They're only closing the polls right now.
That's right. Okay.
No, it's 7 o'clock there.
Yeah, that's
what time
true.
What time they closed the polls there? Were they closing here?
It's an all-mail ballot, for God's sake.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's at least 7 o'clock, right?
My guess is it's probably 8, but maybe it's 7. I don't know.
So there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
See, they're not reporting because they're not supposed to be yet.
Yeah, well, it's an all-mail ballot. If you haven't mailed it already, forget it.
Oh. I'm sitting there like going, I know this is the year of the woman, but why are you being so upsy about mail? No.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, I had forgotten the fact that Oregon doesn't do anything in person.
No. Nope.
Everything is sent through the mail.
Yep, absolutely. And I don't know. I don't think there's any post offices that are open right now.
Well, I don't know when they. I don't know if they can count. If they started counting today. During the day, or do they had to wait to a specific time?
Don't know. Have no idea. Oregon's a strange country.
So, yeah. Well, That whole area over there tends to be a little weird.
Mm-hmm. Except for places like
Trinity.
The reason
why they call them fruits and nuts.
Yeah, they're yeah, and twigs and leaves and stuff. Yeah, I know. I've heard that
okay.
one.
So, the one that, you know, I'm torn by the other one that's in Pennsylvania, though.
Which one is that one?
The Spectre's sea stag.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, although I'd like to see Spectre handed his hat and kicked out the door and then we don't have to deal with him anymore
mm-hmm.
right now,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I almost mm-hmm. wish for a Toomey Spectre fight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be the best of all my possible worlds.
Yeah, I kind of relish that fight.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen that way. It looks like Sustak's going to take the Democratic nomination for the Senate race in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
and he will go up against Pat Toomey, who just ran away with it on the Republican side.
Oh yeah, yep.
So,
yep.
No question about that one. Pennsylvania 12, which is Mirtha's old seat, right? It's 12, yep.
Yep.
That's Mirtha's old seat.
Yep.
I think it's up in the air. I've tried to pick up some stuff here and there, but I'm not seeing a whole lot of that one yet.
Well, what I'm looking at right now, and I'm looking at Politico 2010. Which has the overview of the election. And right now it's Mark Kritz on the Democratic side at 76.3% and Tim Burns at 54.4%. Now, I don't know that that's the results of the special election.
Yeah, I think that one's probably going to have to wait for a while. We probably
yep.
won't get some kind of answers on that inside this next hour.
Now, on the polling, they've got Burns at 48% and Kritz at 47%. But I'm not sure, just based on what I'm looking at here, what anything that's happening there.
Yeah, so that one's going to be rather interesting in a big sense. That's nobody really expected that to go anywhere other than to the Democrat, but
yep,
there was some hope that would actually flip over a little bit. We'll see.
Yep. But you're right. It would have been nice to see the race between Toomey and Spectre, but it doesn't look like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, so that's fine. I'm just as happy to, for Spectre to start. Well, see, this is my other problem is, my other problem is the lame duck situation.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a fair amount of, screw you type shit going on over the next 6 months,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. With people that are losing their seats after long periods of time going, yeah, well, screw you.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Who knows what they're going to vote.
Oh, yeah.
However, I don't think they could vote any worse
than what they're already voting.
What they're already voting. So
yeah, exactly.
On that particular point of view, I don't see that it's a particular problem.
Yeah.
The Rand win in Kentucky, was a clear repudiation of the GOP.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
GOP absolutely, practically fell over itself trying to avoid getting Rand in that position.
Yep.
And as far as I'm concerned...
Yeah, neener, neener, neener.
Thank you.
Oh, jeez.
And, of course, some of the spin is, it's... It's an anti-incumbent. It's not an anti-Obama.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm seeing it. And frankly, the problem is they're absolutely right. It is absolutely anti-incumbent.
Yes, it is.
But the reason it's anti-incumbent is because too many of them sided with Obama.
You know, I'm sitting out here in my front yard, here in little old Hayfork, California, and you know what? I can see November from my house.
Yeah, it's going to be rather, it's kind of interesting, but I wanted to get your take. We're, you know, we'll come back to some of the elections as they continue to pile up. CSEC continues to stay ahead of Spectre as far as the votes coming in. We're about coming up on 60% in. So the you got an opportunity to spend some time with some folks yesterday.
I did.
And I figured you'd be happy to share some of your insights into a couple things. And then I'm going to give you some crap about your hat.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Well, tell first, me tell us what was going on.
First of all, I went to a political rally last night. Dr. Rose was there also, and Jay Brunmeister was there. Met some other folks. And we got to listen to two very good speakers. One was Jim Nielsen, who is running for a congressional seat here in California. The other one was Chuck DeVore. Both men impressed. I was taken with both of them in terms of their commitment to fiscal responsibility. Thiessen did a very good job, but I will tell you that Chuck DeVore was an absolute standout. He talked about himself for the better part of, I don't know, must have been about 30 minutes or so. And it was only at the very end of his speech that he said, look, you need to compare and contrast between myself and my opponent. And the closest thing that he did, that he said all last night, that one could even conceivably think of as a negative attack on his opponents, was simply asking people to compare himself and his stands, and when he took them, to the stands of his opponents and when they took him. So he came out before the bailouts and said, I am absolutely opposed to these. He came out against TARP. He came out against all of the fiscal issues, and he said, my opponents, Campbell for one, is in favor of them. Fiorina was initially in favor of them and has come to embrace his position. So I think that it's instructive to look at when they took their positions. That's my take. The best takeaway line that I got out of that whole spiel last night was this. If you are traveling down the road to socialism in a car, going 100 miles an hour, the answer is not, as some would have you believe, to say, hey, you need to slow the car down to 50. The answer is you have to stop the car, you have to turn it around, and you have to go back to individual liberty and an expansion of individual rights and a contraction of government. And I thought, man, you sold me. I fell in love with you. I'm sorry. just, you know, and it is so true that that's what we have to do. He spoke for about 35, 40 minutes, something like that, and then he took questions and answers. And of all of the questions and answers that were presented to him, he came down squarely on the side of individuals versus the government. He came down squarely on the side of fiscal conservatism versus an expansionary status government. The guy is the real deal. And I had a chance to exchange a very few words with him. He comes across as very genuine. Absolutely a person of the people. And I'm glad we've got him. Now, what do the polls tell you? I don't think the polls mean a lot. One, there's way too many undecideds here in California. Two, both Campbell and Fiorina are falling in the polls, and he's coming up. Is that fast enough to suit me? Nope, it isn't. But you know what? It is what it is. Here's the deal on that. As more people know and understand him, they will, in fact, if they are fiscal conservatives, if they are strong on defense, they will vote for Chuck DeVore. So that's kind of my take on what's happening here. Does he have enough time to pull it off? You know, I don't know. The only thing I can tell you is this. If you have a doubt in your mind about a candidate, then you got to go with your gut. And you've got to say, look, I think that someone who says and has demonstrated by his past actions, that has demonstrated by their votes in the California Assembly, that they are in fact for fiscal conservatism, that they are in fact for a strong defense, that they are against the cap-and-trade types of schemes, then your absolutely clear choice is Chuck DeVore. And you need to vote your conscience. You need to say, you know what? I don't care what the polls say. That's my person.
There's still way, way, way too many people that are still approaching politics as, you know, we have to win first, and then we'll try and make them do what we want them to do.
Yep.
And it is, I've had this conversation, you've had this conversation with countless people.
Yeah.
Nobody that listens to us has any disagreement about this. You know, if in fact you continue to vote for the lesser of two evils, then they're going to keep giving you evil to vote for. We're going to continue to get people that are just going to slow down on the gas pedal, not change directions.
Exactly.
And I refuse to do it. You refuse to do it.
Yep.
A whole lot of other people refuse to do it. And the more that happens, the more it looks like it's happening as these, you know, primaries continue to go on. Let's talk about Pennsylvania for just a second. According to the AP, has called it for CSTAC. I'm looking at 64% of the reports in, and he's up by 50,000 votes. That should put him comfortably ahead of, you know, Spector's two little places that supposedly he has a significant presence in. And the PA site has improved its response rate all of a sudden.
Yeah.
We're up 69%, and we're at 53,000 votes. It's 53, almost 54% to 46%.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Spectre is gone. By the end of tonight, Spectre will be gone. He's, of course, going to have the opportunity to vote on the next Supreme Court justice, and he is, of course, going to vote for Kagan.
Sure.
There's nothing we can do to stop her from getting her nomination. Frankly, myself, you know, I've listened to many of the arguments about not doing a whole lot of screaming and yelling about her, and my opinion, I've said it on this show, I've said it, you know, online, I've said it to other people, there is only one job that the Republicans need to be doing this year, and any attempt to divert from that one single job, in my mind, is sufficient cause to cause them to lose their jobs. Their job is to say no.
Yep.
Period. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a pet project. I don't care if it's the one thing that they've been fighting for 35 years in their congressional career that Obama's
yeah.
going to give to them. Their job is to say no.
Yep.
And, you know, yeah, I'm on this particular point for this particular cycle. I'm an ideologue. It's an absolute. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no pragmatism. It's either or. Do it or get out, or do it or we'll get you out. And that's
mm-hmm.
it.
Yep.
Not because I'm trying to cover my butt for having not voted for McCain. No.
Yeah.
Not. Not the issue. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, the goals that I set for myself with regards to this to the presidential election was not to vote for the lesser of two evils.
Exactly.
I expected that there would be a significant backlash against Obama and anybody that joined with him. I certainly, both you and I, in our positions with the American Conservative Party, were confident of the idea that it was going to be a beneficial type situation. Despite how much damage it could cause the United States, it was going to be beneficial to the conservative movement
mm-hmm.
In the long run. That, you know, we have, I think Barack Obama has accomplished all of our goals.
Yes, he has. In
and,
spades, if
and,
I can say
and,
that.
Yeah, I know. So he has accomplished all of our goals. At this particular point, what's happening right now is we're getting a something extra, in my opinion. And the extra we're getting is that there's a whole lot of Republicans that have acted stupidly over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're getting rid of them, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm happy at this point, but there's no sense in continuing to subject the United States to the kind of damage that Obama seeks to put onto it. When all my other goals have been met. So, you know, time to show that you are capable of being a conservative. Because if a Republican doesn't believe that they need the conservatives to win, then they should be gone by November.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think
yep.
that the days of the Republican Party counting on, you know, throwing up some, you know, flag, oh, we're going to lose the vote on abortion, or we're going to lose the vote on gay marriage.
Yeah.
You know, that's bullshit. That's not going to happen.
Yep.
And, you know, and let's talk about what happened last night. Somebody who claimed to be a conservative, a pretty staunch conservative, a strong conservative, over the last couple of weeks, jumped onto Twitter and was vile.
Yeah.
And the position that the person stated was quite clear, that gay marriage and gay adoption were abominations. They were evil. They were dangerous. And that, and this is, you know, and I, you know, I'd gotten all that stuff before. And that's irrelevant. But what he said, the next part of the sentence that came out of his mouth, absolutely pissed me off. He said, "Gays and lesbians do not deserve any rights."
Oh God, Jesus.
Okay. That they are evil Satan worshippers, and they have no rights, deserve no rights, should be given no rights. Well, I'm sorry. You know, no.
Yeah, right.
wrong.
Yeah.
And I proceeded to absolutely unload on him. And then he started going, "Where's this attack coming from? You know, I was just voicing my opinion." And yep, not. And then over the next half hour, other people started chiming in and,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, getting on board of that. And then all this happened between 11:30 and 1 o'clock this morning. Wonderful timing, my time.
Yeah, right.
I had
hoped
to go to bed. I was signing off when he started, and that just threw it up. And then something happened 4 hours later, long after I'd gone to bed, that has absolutely stunned the Twitterverse. And I don't know if you know this happened, because you actually have to kind of pay attention to the fact of what was going on. Okay?
Yeah.
You know Daniel Spanges?
Yep.
He defended me.
Did he really?
Yep. Wow. He got on about 4 hours after it went on, and he said, "It pains me, and it pains me to do this."
Yeah.
Because Tracy Cole and I are not friends, but I have to defend her.
That had to gall him.
he put it in the terms that, you know, he's argued with me that conservatives are homophobic and bigoted and racist, and I was just getting some of that, and I, you know, my response to him was, you know, what I found out is that this person was bigoted. That's what I found out. And the fact of the matter was that Daniel ignored the fact that a whole bunch of other conservatives jumped down to the bandwagon and, you know, got in on the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when this person tried to get me off of things because I'm gay, the other conservatives that are part of the group said, we have no problem with her being gay and part of this group. So
exactly.
the fact that Daniel Spanges, and for those that don't know, he is a vile. He's not a troll.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a
no,
troll.
No.
He is just a vile and vulgar man who has an entirely bizarre worldview. But, and I've said this before and I'm saying it again, you know, you got to give him, you know, respect for two things.
Yep.
He has a set of principles and positions based on those principles that he stands by, and he will defend against all comers.
Yep.
And he puts himself out there with his real name and his real picture, and he stands there and says, this is who I am, this is how I'm going to defend it, this is my position, these are my principles, you know, and, you know, screw you all. And I have to respect
yep.
that. I don't agree with him on anything, but I got to respect that. And the reality is that he basically said pretty much the same thing last night about me. That was amazing. And there's people on the left that were just going, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. They just couldn't believe it. And, of course, people on the right just can't believe that he did it either. And, you know, I didn't find it. I found it interesting that he got into it. I didn't find it altogether unusual that he stated the things he did because they are not inconsistent with his positions.
Right.
The point is that a very large number of conservatives, you know, jumped on this person for his, you know, very bigoted response, you know, out, you know, towards gays. And it is playing out across the country. Candidates are avoiding the social issues, the ones that are being pressed on the social issues are dismissing it as a minor issue that doesn't have any real bearing on the race that are being involved, and they're perfectly correct. You know, these congressional seats are going to have nothing to do with abortion.
Absolutely.
And for the most part, you know, nothing is going to change as far as gay marriage right now because, you know, Barack Obama is for DOMA, so, you know, he's not going to change anything. Nobody's going to push in that in particular. So these are areas that have no bearing in it. And so the Republicans have lost their only way to push the conservative base into following the lesser of two evils, and they are getting their heads handed to them. And frankly, that's fine, and Twitter is going nuts. I don't know if you noticed it. My updates are running at 50 and 60 a hit.
I'm sitting here on TweetDeck and saying, okay.
Yeah,
they're coming in.
So,
absolutely.
You know, now, the only thing that I have to say to us, okay, and it's something we all need to pay a lot of attention to, we have a certain amount of echo chamber.
We have, I'm sorry, we
show,
have, what, you got some static there.
I said, you know, we have a little bit of an echo chamber.
Yes, we do.
Most of the people that you and I come across on a day-by-day basis are in a rather small, you know, figuratively speaking, probably a couple million people, you know, group. Now, some say, well, a couple million people is not that that big a deal, but, you know, it's a pretty vocal couple million, and it's spread out all over the country. So, you know, the it is kind of sorry, I lost my train of thought. Daniel Spandy's just popped up on Twitter.
Yeah.
So, about last night. So, the you know, we are a small group. We are vocal. We are active. But the larger population is still very much ignorant of all of the things that are going on. Yes, the Tea Party movements are getting some traction. They are getting in size and getting some notice and such like that. But the vast majority of people, you know, still don't know what Tea Party is, still are not paying a whole lot of attention to what's going on as far as Congress is concerned and some of the things that are being pulled off.
That's right.
You know, and, you know, but the longer this year goes on, the more we're going to have things like, you know, the Arizona immigration law and what kind of things it's producing.
I was told once, and I guess as I'm getting older, I'm actually coming to believe it, but, you know, the general population really doesn't start paying attention to an election until you're about 2 weeks out. Those of us who are immersed in politics, who live, breathe, and eat it, we're there all year round. We're there looking for that next advantage. We're there looking for, okay, what's the next big thing? How do we gain an advantage? How do we manipulate this? But most people don't begin to pay attention until about a couple of weeks before an election. So we can talk to each other all year long, but where we really need to concentrate our efforts is in that last 2 weeks. When those people are reachable, they're paying attention, and they're persuadable. And that's when we have to go out and find those people that are conservative, that have, even if they don't know it, have conservative ideals, and say, here's a candidate, you really ought to take a look at this because these are the things that he stands for, and that's what you stand for also.
And this kind of goes to the idea that Chuck DeVore, you know, certainly has to take advantage of where it pops. And this person, New York conservative that was on Twitter. We came across him about 4 or 5 nights ago. Myself and somebody else that I knew, and he came across as very outgoing, very friendly, very let's get into this conservative movement thing. I really want to do it. I'm tired of all the stuff that's going on in Congress.
Yeah.
Both of us, you know, on the side kind of went, this guy feels off.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, couldn't put our fingers on it. Just didn't feel right.
Yep.
Anyways, the issue is that, and this is very true in real life, not just online, but online it can be pretty dramatic. People can't hide who they are.
Absolutely.
The longer you engage them, the more that they're involved and active, the more the real person is going to come out.
Yep.
And when somebody tries to be online and not who they are, it rings hollow. it rings false.
Yep.
And
yep.
the longer you have them in that position, the more obvious it becomes.
Until
eventually what happens is they'll say something or do something that is completely out of the character they're trying to present and completely in the character that they actually are.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's what happened yesterday. You know, he presented something that was extremely out of character for what he was trying to present, but extremely in character for how he was being perceived.
Sure.
Chuck DeVore has to take advantage of situations where the more that Carly Fiorino is, you know, engaged and involved and questioned and poked and prodded, the more the reality is going to come out. And, you know, the more that Rand Paul was poked and prodded, the more the real Rand Paul came out, and the more people kind of went, they're okay.
Yep.
He's not his father.
No.
Although
he is
I
not.
Find most of his positions to be, you know, somewhat father light. I have some, you know, some issues with him, but I don't know if I would have voted for him if I was in Kentucky. I certainly wouldn't have voted against him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I certainly would have probably spent more time digging deeper into it than I have.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the race that I'm going to be involved in.
In any case,
that's the whole thing that we have to think. When somebody says, yes, I'm a Tea Party conservative, you know, I'm all for the Tea Parties, you know, we need to engage those people. We need to ask them questions. We need to test their resolve. We need to test their principles that they're relying on. You know, and the more we do that, the more we're going to see the real person. And the more we're going to end up with, I hope, the Chuck DeVores, the, you know, the Rand Pauls, you know, the Pat Toomeys that are going to, you know, be more responsible once they're actually in D.C.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was another thing that Chuck brought up last night, and that is you need to hold your politicians accountable. You need to let them know that whether you voted for them or not, that you are watching them, that you are calculating what it is that they are doing, what the probable effects of that are, and how does that impact, not necessarily just you, but how does that impact America? And he said, he welcomes that. He says, I want to be held accountable. I don't want you to vote for me and then forget about me. He says, I want you to hold me accountable. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm saying, yep, you know, you betcha. That's what we have to do. We cannot just vote and then 2 years later come back and vote again. Every day we have to be there. Every day we have to say, what is it that you did today? And how does that comport with what you said you were going to do on the campaign trail? And until we do that, we're going to have politicians that will lie to us. And no, didn't misspeak, didn't misplace a word. They lied. And you have to hold them accountable. You have to say, that is not what you said you were going to do. I don't care if you say, oh, well, conditions have changed. No, you have to stand up and be counted and be a part of fiscal conservatism. Whatever it is, whatever your shtick is, you have to hold them accountable to what they said they were going to do on the campaign trail.
They have to know that you're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They have to know that this is not, you know, an 18 or 9 or 6 or 3 month love affair with the political process.
Yep.
That come December 1st, everyone's going to go back to business as usual.
Exactly.
That's what the Republicans are hoping. That's what the Democrats are praying for.
Oh yeah.
You know, somebody said today, you know, the idea that Barack Obama is going to focus on jobs for the remainder of the year. Yeah, he is going to focus on jobs. His.
Yeah. And nobody else.
The rest of the year, you know, we're worrying about what his job is. You know, and I think we should take Barack Obama up on his point. You know,
yep.
He said it months ago. You know, he said he didn't care if he was a one-term president. I think we should just go ahead and take him up on that.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, the first half of that is to basically turn him into a lame duck.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and, you know, I'm not too worried about a Chuck DeVore or a Pat Toomey, you know, going to become suddenly, well, I might be a little bit more concerned about Pat Toomey. I'm certainly not worried about Rand Paul doing so, becoming more pragmatic.
Yes.
Once they're actually in D.C.
Yeah.
You know, they're generally focused on the idea that the less government, the better, and
mm-hmm.
So they're not going to get pragmatic and come up with you know, the slowing down to 50 miles an hour point of view.
Exactly.
You know, it's going to happen. Now let's talk a little bit about Arizona for a moment, because something happened today that was rather funny. And I actually suggested this, once I found out about this about a week ago, I kind of suggested it offhand. It looks like somebody has been paying attention, certainly not to me, but somebody else got the right idea. Los Angeles has decided, and California has decided, that they're going to boycott Arizona because of the new Arizona immigration law.
Yeah, yeah.
And then last week I found out that California gets like 40% of its electric from Arizona. Southern California gets like 40% of its electric from Arizona. And I'm thinking, oh, I like this idea a whole lot. I think Arizona should just say, you know what, we're going to honor your boycott and just turn the damn shit off.
Yep.
And the Arizona politician, well, I don't think he's a politician, I think he's a bureaucrat. The Arizona person in charge of selling Arizona power to California basically sent a letter to the mayor of Los Angeles going, you want to go ahead with that boycott, that's fine. You know, we'll just keep
mm-hmm.
our electric to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for, you know, a certain mayor of a certain city to squeal like a stuck pig going, you can't do that, that's
yeah,
not
exactly.
fair.
Exactly.
Frankly, myself.
Yeah.
They should be doing that.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm thinking that if California really wants to do that, then they need to take into account all of the ramifications of that. They can't just say,
wait a
oh,
second.
Well.
Are you actually asking Democrats to pay attention to the consequences?
Yeah, I know. That's a really laughable concept. However, once they're reading the Arizona bill in the dark, perhaps that will occur to them. I don't know.
Yeah, we continue to hear more and more people that are complaining about the Arizona law have not yet read it.
Yes, I'm in all so far the results are this. Reading the bill, zero. Democratic administration, however many there are. I just, Janet Napolitano, Eric Holder, the president, you name it, they haven't read the damn bill. They have come out and said, oh, Arizona acted stupidly. Oh, this is a law that could lead to, but none of them have read it.
You know, and my problem with that is, you know, I don't know why we're giving, you know, these politicians grief about the fact that they haven't read a bill that they're complaining about.
They haven't read anything else. I don't know why.
Right. I mean, you know, why should we worry about them complaining about a law they don't have anything to do with you know, but of course they haven't read it, when in fact they have passed, voted, and signed bills they haven't ever read. You know, maybe we should institute a, you know, a Sesame Street reading group for Washington, D.C.
There's a thought.
Let's have a literacy campaign for the White House.
Actually, somebody suggested on Twitter earlier today that they could bring their reading mats with them, and we could all put them down on the floor and read to them. Things like bills, stuff like that.
CJ asked me today.
Yeah.
She goes, when did I learn to read? Because I'd like to read. I said, you learn to read probably, you know, in the 3 to 4 years old range.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She goes, because there was lots of people in kindergarten that didn't know. She wants to know how people could be set back in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I said, there's lots of people that go into kindergarten that are certainly not anywhere near ready for school.
Absolutely.
You know, and so, yep. So that happens. She goes, but I was. I said, yes, you were. And she goes, how did you do that? I said, well, we started to read to you. And, you know, the problem is little kids, once you start reading to them, they really, really like being read to. And then, you know, they want to sit down and read and you're too busy, then they're stuck. They really want to read, but they can't do it, and you're too busy. And they're sitting there holding the book going, but read!
Yeah, right.
And so that puts a bell into them to learn how to read.
Yep.
And so they learn how to read so that when they want to read, they don't have to wait for somebody to read to them. They can just sit down and read.
Exactly.
And that's the process.
Yep.
Apparently, you know, the Obama administration, when somebody says, here, let's read this book, go, we don't do that here.
Yeah, right. Does it have pictures?
Reading?
Yeah, right.
We don't read.
Nobody reads.
Don't read.
Yeah.
That's why we have such big bills. We're not going to read them.
Are you crazy? Yeah, right. We just go through the dictionary and pull words out and put them in a bill, and then everything's fine.
Sesame Street books are 12 pages. We don't want to read them. What makes you think we're going to read 2,400
exactly.
pages? Are you crazy? You know, C-Stack's up 50,000 votes. Yay!
Hoorah!
I think it's a done deal.
Although I don't know. I don't have the TV on, so I don't know if anybody's calling it yet or not, but.
Toomey is at 80%.
Is he really?
Toomey thighs.
Jesus.
Toomey flies.
Oh, God.
Toomey just creamed that one.
Oh, man.
80% of the vote. Okay. We'll see how that goes. Okay, so that's the PA one. We know what the Kentucky one was. Wasn't there something else that was going on that was kind of big news? Anybody else know there was something else besides... Rand Paul's race, Murtha's race. What's going on?
Well,
hey, anybody know what's going on with PA-12? Republicans lost PA-12, but only to an anti-Obamacare, anti-Capitrade conservative Democrat. Who the hell
well,
knows?
I don't know. PA-12...
Mark Critz
has got 73.9% with 76.4% of the precincts reporting. And Tim Burns on the Republican side has 19,000.
Pat Toomey is at 80% on the other side in the Senate race.
Ah,
you
Senate.
Just asked me about that. So PA
Yeah. With 468,000 votes. Ooh, that's good. Cool. You know, the other one that we haven't talked about is Arkansas. Lance Lincoln is leading with 43.5% of the vote and 33.9% of the precincts reporting. Boozman on the Republican side has got 50%. So I'm guessing that he's probably got that. That's with 31.1% reporting. I wonder why it's different. Oh, well, doesn't matter. So it kind of sounds like maybe Rick Crawford for CD1 in Arkansas, who got 69.9%. And Tim Griffin has got 60.7%. I don't know if any of these folks are Tea Party folks or not. Steve Womack has got 35.5, way ahead of the second place finisher. Republican side in Arkansas CD4 is Bethann Rankin with 54.9% of the vote. So we'll see. I don't know. I was encouraged that Blanche Lincoln has only got 43.5, though. That's good. That's only with 33.9% of the precincts reporting. So that's all good. I like that.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the Arkansas election results, and Lincoln is not up right now.
No.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Okay. So,
do you have any? There's a guy in the news today. Actually, there's a couple of guys in the news. One of them is your standard sex scandal on with a female staffer. But Blumenthal, apparently lied about what he was doing during the Vietnam War. Now, he's been doing that for 30 years, folks, and it's just now coming out. Where in the hell was our press?
Press? What press?
Press?
We've got a phone call.
Who is this press you're speaking of? Yes.
We got a phone call. Hang on a second.
We
area
do.
Code
606. Cool.
Area code 606.
Who's 606?
There can only be one person in area code 606 that I know that would be calling. Cam?
Ooh.
It is Cam.
I couldn't help it.
Good.
I am so thrilled because you guys bring up the press, and you know what? It didn't do anything here. Mitch McConnell comes out for Trey Grayson. Everybody else comes out for, you know, whomever. And now this, you know, he was the underdog, Rand Paul.
Yep.
He was the serious underdog. I live in this place, and I'm telling you, I don't know how, but for the sheer will of God and these voters, that man won.
Mm.
I'm telling
you. I got to suggest to you that, you know, that the press is so out of touch in Kentucky at this point. That I'm not willing to believe just about anything that I read anywhere about anyone, especially where Tea Party points, you know, conservative points are in play, because, you know, he's got more than 60% of the vote. That's a huge
astounding
margin.
Oh yeah,
that's a huge margin.
Astounding.
That everyone was coming up the fact that, you know, he was going to cream them.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll tell you. In the little woodlands that I live in here, there's a group of very unhappy good old boys who thought that they had this primary election all set up to ride right through November on.
Huh.
And this fellow out of Bowling Green tonight really shook some suspenders. Seriously, I don't think that they are even going to know in the next 3 months how to deal with that.
Yep. How did your local races do?
I'm serious. He is such an outsider politically. First of all, he's an ophthalmologist out of Bowling Green. that is so far from where the political Washington insiders base is here. And that's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And I could imagine what the little private hush-hush phone calls and, you know, two or three person, you know, chit-chats are amongst these people tonight, even at the local level. Mm. All the way up to the national scene, they're stunned. They must be, because I am. You know, I never thought that the guy in a million years would have swept through at the percentage that he has.
No, I think that the Republicans have drastically underestimated the mood of the country. I think the mainstream press might be aware of it, is trying to downplay it.
They're dousing it with buckets of water. It's crazy, you know, and you can't believe what you read. You know, someone is feeding these people their little points, you know, and of course everyone is downgrading, you know, if you're a conservative or if you're even, you know, a Tea Party sympathizer, let alone a Tea Party activist,
mm-hmm.
you know, that your political thinking is whacked out, you're a radical, you know, you're anti-government. I love my country. That doesn't mean I like the people that are running it, because they're driving it into the ground.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, see, and as far as being a patriot, oh, please. I've never had my patriotism questioned. You know, I mean, it would be like someone walking up to someone in a uniform and questioning them mm-hmm. as far as them being patriotic as they wear it.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
well,
I mean, you know,
There's many people at this particular point in time in the political pundit class, and I'm talking about locally, I'm talking about regionally, I'm talking about nationally, that they don't know what to do with the Tea Party movement. They don't know what to do with this conservative movement that is just building up speed, that's not social issue oriented.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely, you know, put government back where it belongs. You've got you've had a free ride. It's not going to happen anymore. You guys have gone nuts. It's crazy. You know, I don't think there's a single person that listens to this show that we talk to, all the three of us talk to on a day-to-day basis. There's not a single person that we talk to that looks at the federal debt, and goes, yeah, we can work with that.
Yeah, not a chance.
No.
We're looking at it going, we have crossed a line that, you know, something has to happen, because nothing good can come out of this.
Exactly. The interest rate is incalculable.
Actually, I could
calculate it, but, you know.
I read an analysis today that I thought was pretty spot on that said, if you look at our direct liabilities, if you look at our unfunded liabilities, we are at a point where it is not possible to repay that.
Exactly.
Period.
Correct.
I mean, there is no way to do that.
And this is the problem. I don't know if you guys have been paying any attention to it. Obviously, it's something that I pay attention to. We're running out of time tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm paying attention to. Is the Euro bailout is fraying all over on the edges.
Yep.
I would suggest that we've probably got 2-3 weeks at the most before that thing absolutely falls apart. And once everyone else realizes that it's going to fall apart,
mm-hmm.
All bets are off.
They bail.
Oh, and the democracy over there is only so many thousands of years old that survived the Trojan Wars. Lovely.
Yeah.
You see, you know, I brought that up last night. It's like, you know, okay, we're seeing, you know, we're seeing riot police in the center of the Grecian square. And America's only how old? This is not looking good.
Now,
you see,
now
I mean, you know, relatively speaking. Oh, and I wanted to remind you, Tracy, you know, give him crap about that hat.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I called. All right, I'm going
to
go.
I want you to stay.
Bye-bye, Pam.
Okay. I want you to stay. Boats, Pam, stay.
Yay.
Don't run away.
What?
Stay.
What?
15 seconds. Bill, you do your shout-outs. Let's stay in the green room.
Okay.
We're in the green room, invited.
Well, I'm not going to give a shout-out to Pammy because she's still here, but Mama Gurka, Louisa Ma, Hippie Chick, Kamani, and Nosy, and Arkansas Traveler, thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're in the green room. We're in the green room, so you can keep on going that. So now, the people that were listening to the show are just going to have to, you know, go on to the podcast and hear the fact was, you know, that's a fine-looking hat there, dude.
Oh, my God, I'm so glad you had fun.
I have a problem, but as much as it's a fine-looking hat, I have a problem with it.
What's your specific problem?
He could have worn his bar hat.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's my problem. It doesn't look like you didn't wear the bar hat. Considering it's a Sunday going to church hat, it doesn't look like it gets much use, dude.
I can't believe
he went to a church.
I mean, you tell me you haven't been at a church in how long? And then you go wear your church hat. I haven't been in 30 something years?
I haven't been in church other than for funeral in 30 plus years.
Yeah, that's what you're telling me.
Like,
and I'm going, he wears his church hat to go see Chuck DeVore? What?
Well, that's because it was being held. Nice shirt, though. You know, and you know, the church was fine. It had its nice plush red carpet and its nice plush red pews.
Well, the pictures were nice that he took too.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know,
you're looking swell there, Bill.
It was a good thing. I did not wear my go to the bar hat
or spurs,
which is a kind of a pleasant colored bullwhite hat.
Oh, I don't know.
I think you should have wore the hat.
Yeah, well.
The bar hat?
Maybe when he goes
to the next DeVore rally, he could wear his bar hat.
Well, actually, you know, that hat is the hat that I have on my usual avatar, which is simply a...
It is. I love that avatar.
And you know, nobody would recognize me in my bar hat.
Yeah, and what's the name of that other hat that you work in that... What's that thing called? I can never remember what that thing is called.
What?
You know, that funky hat that you wear to work in when it's cold out there on the Royal Ranch.
Oh, a watch cap.
I need to get one of those.
It's a watch cap.
That's right, the watch cap.
Yep.
For the lighthouse.
Yeah.
When it's cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, for a Navy kid, I ought to remember that.
You would think you would.
You would think I would, but I keep having to be reminded.
I know.
Well, we can't help it. I'm just little.
Yeah.
You know, and that was speaking about that. I mean, I took one look at that picture, and I'm going like, Bill, you're short.
I know. It's like, whoa, gussied him up real fine. You know, I like that shirt though. You need more shirts that color. You know, that's my professional opinion.
Chuck is a tall dude. Let me tell you.
He looks tall.
Yeah.
I mean, gee. See, the Princess's prom date was that tall, like 6'4". She's five foot four, and I'm looking at her, and I'm looking at him, and I'm going, whoa, man, what did they feed you down there?
Exactly.
This kid, Chuck
is at least 6'4". I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about it.
That rally really was amazing.
I mean, we had...
I got to say this. What's that, Trace? My particular point of view is, and let's get a little bit maybe TMI here.
Okay.
I personally don't have any particular opinions about people and how they look in general because I'm much more interested in what's going on in between the ears than what's going on around the ears.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Victoria and I met online.
Did you really? Cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the first time...
I met you online, too. I mean, that's...
So, you know, and that was, you know, we're talking about 1993. So
wow. That was an eternity ago.
The eternity. Yes, it was. So, in that case, you meet people and you see what they think before you get into the seeing them type point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The
and I'm proud that Daniel came to your rescue last night. You know, for the rotten vile creature that he is, Dan Spangles.
Oh, Spengies? Yeah.
Yeah, Spengies, when he was, when you were catching crap, and he you know, defended your right to be.
I must have already gotten off.
I must have, too, because, you know, I heard about it on the show, and I'm thinking, that character? I mean, he's just, like, repulsive.
Yeah.
You know, and...
You have to go back in the timeline to look, but, you know, it was a pretty extensive thing. It was about...
I will. I'll check, you know, and I'm thinking... See, because, you know, by the time I'm ready for bed, you know, you guys are just kind of getting kicking out there, you know, so... I mean, you know, Eastern Standard Time comes way earlier here than it does out there.
Yep.
But,
it does, for sure.
You know, I'm ready for bed at 1 o'clock.
What was I going to say about looks, brains? You know, I'm much more interested in what's going on in between the ears than what's going on around the outside of the ears.
Yep.
Yeah, and that is, that particularly shows on your Taliban Tracy look.
Yeah.
I love that. That has become one of my most favorite Abby's. I look for that thing. And
you know, we've got what day is today? Today is the 18th. So
18th. Still
2 days. It's in 2 days. So it's on Thursday. Is Draw Muhammad Day?
Yep.
I hear.
So you have to. You have to draw Muhammad Day. You know,
I'm
going to
catch,
you know,
grief,
I,
because if I put on a burqa, a veil, or, you know, I mean, I'll probably do what you do.
No,
you know, give myself a beard,
no,
and a...
Do a bomb hat.
Like
a pirate. I like a bomb hat.
There you go. Bomb hat is
good.
Yeah. So anyways, my draw Muhammad will be gone on Friday, but I did like my... maybe you guys only saw it for... I only had it up for about 10 minutes. Did you see my Haley Joe Abby?
The reclining one?
Yeah.
I saw it. You didn't leave it up very long.
No, it wasn't up very long because I'm watching
no,
this one. But I'm going to get that one
it.
There.
I don't think I saw that one. I saw the one of the young you.
There's no young me.
She did something to it. She changed it, and then she put that one back on where she was kind of reclining back against the pillow.
Well, I thought it was a young you. Maybe it isn't.
No, what I did was I just took the same picture that I took for, you know, Taliban, what I call the bomb hat picture.
Yeah.
I took the same picture, the basic picture, the one that I always have on there, and I took the snapshot of, what's his last name? I want to keep saying Haley Joe Barber, but it's not Haley Joe Barber. Haley Joe Osment. From The Sixth Sense, where he's in the, you know, leaning, you know, in the pillow,
mm-hmm.
and his breath comes out and he goes, I see dead people.
Yeah.
And I took that picture and I made mine, stylized mine in the same way, and then I just posted up there and I said, I see stupid people. And then just put up a whole bunch of
the evil,
you know, the trolls.
Yeah.
You know,
what
there.
Is with these
but
trolls?
That was it. I just did the one, and, it was, and I took it down. But I'll put it back up again. I think probably I'll use it for the rest of May. You know.
Cool.
Well, I'm gonna have to, you know,
I
like.
Did pretty good.
I guess I'll just have to get my paint program, you know, screw around with it, and you know, see if I can't, you know, make myself into Ollie Pammy or something.
Yeah,
know?
There you go.
Ollie Pammy of Riyadh. I don't know what I'll do, but yeah, I've been kind of looking forward to it. And of course, my creative little brain is going, how am I going to manage in 2 days? Because now the election is over, and I can breathe for the moment. You know, I mean, I'm going to take a day or two off because it was crazy around here. You know, I mean, even from since last night, because I'm going. You know, okay. I'm listening to Bill. You know, there is no compromise. You know, do you vote? You know, you'd rather vote for not the lesser evil than anyone.
Exactly.
See, you know, so you know, do you remain true to your convictions and your values, and you know, and then of course, you know, and unfortunately, I suffered from this syndrome. You know, where when I first became, you know, I'll say, online and enlightened. I was enlightened before, but I was way enlightened online, you know, that, you know, if you didn't vote, it was a cop-out, and I really did, you know, in many cases, think that way, you know, or at least feel in certain instances that, you know, well, you know, you're going to complain, but don't complain to me because you didn't vote about it, you see?
Yep.
And,
yep.
You know, and then I kept thinking, you know, Bill's right. You know, stick to what you believe in or just don't stick it to anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yep.
I really, that really was getting to me last night. And then I just, you know, I thought, okay, I'm going to go down to the school. And it's great here because, you know, people, I walk in and the guy goes, oh, hey. I said, hi. You know, and he says, I know you, but, man, I can't remember your last name. And I'm thinking, God, I love living here. You know,
yeah.
I'm not standing in a line of 800,000 people. The man recognizes me. You know, I said, oh, Jado's mother. He says, yeah, I know, but I can't remember your last name. And this is the polling guy. You know, and they actually make you sign the real book, you know, verify your address, and, you know, and they know, you know, and, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, it's great. He knows who I am except for remembering my last name, which
cool.
He should if he reads the paper because, you know, the kid's in the paper all the time. The
world.
Yeah,
there you go. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you think, you know. But, you know, finally, once I spilled it, he's like, oh, yeah, I remember now. That's right. You know, and so, you know, it was quite an experience, but I took my little, now here what you're allowed to do. You're not allowed to take any sort of presentable material into the voting booth with you, but you're allowed to write your own little list.
Hmm.
You are,
hmm.
Which is incredible, because you can't get away with that in very many places, you know, that it's not, you know, absolutely not illegal to do it. You are permitted to write your own little list. To vote, you know, who you're voting for, and take it into the booth with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walked in there, and I pulled out my little list from my pocket, my flannel shirt, and I looked at my list, and I went, dot, 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 and I thought, okay, did I forget anybody? No. And is this sure, you know, how surely you wish to vote, you know, cast your vote and confirm this vote? Absolutely. And I double and I triple checked it. And I thought, okay, and I stood there for all of 1 minute. It took me longer to put on my flannel shirt, start the car, and drive up there than it did for me to stand before that booth because I went informed.
Yeah.
You see? You know, and people just don't. And I don't get it.
I want you both to think about something. I've thought about this for a while. I haven't said it before. Okay. The United States government is spending right now about $3 trillion a year. It's a little bit high right now, it's about 3.5, but let's just leave it at $3 trillion.
No, that we know of. It's probably triple that, but
no. Hand me math. $3 trillion.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to think about something for a second. There are 100 senators.
Yep.
That means every one of our senators is spending about $30 billion.
Exactly.
And every one of our representatives is spending, roughly speaking, $6.9 billion. All right? Now, I want you to think about the fact that for the moment, that $6.9 billion is in your pocket. And you're going to go to a voting booth. You're going to go to a voting booth, and you're going to hand over that $6.9 billion, okay, to one person that's going to Congress to spend it
for the next,
I want you to think,
certain period of time.
A year for the next 2 years.
I know. I did.
The senators for the next 6 years. Okay.
I did that on the local level even today.
Is this somebody that I want to give $6.8 billion a year to spend?
No,
however
chances are hell
want
no.
To?
Nope.
Yeah, not only no, hell no.
Right.
No, and I'll be
I didn't
really
do it for the local. I sure wasn't going to do
hell
it
no,
for a national.
But no.
Yeah, I know. Really.
Okay. So that's the focus that I want people to have when they consider the fact, well, the lesser of two evils. Really, do you really want to hand our inspector $30 billion each year for the next 6 years to spend however he wants?
Yeah.
You know,
there was this guy running
for your money. Sorry.
There's this guy running for county judge, right? And he calls me up on the phone. This is the guy I bought my house from, and he calls me up on the phone and he says, "Hey," I said, "Hello," He says, well, I guess you heard I'm running for judge, huh? And I said, yeah. And, of course, I got neighbors over here, and then I got Nabots. These Nabots are in his pocket. And they give us nothing but grief, okay? And I thought, you know, okay, we can see how this is going. I've read your little piece of literature, which, you know, would be fine if you didn't tell me that together we can proceed or make progress or together we can, because that's like forget that noise, right? Second of all, this guy is going to be in the, or was, and he didn't, going to be elected the judge executive of the county, in which he would have access to all of the federal grant money and make determinations on where and on whom it gets spent on and what for. Him and his little hand-picked advisory board, which would be fine and dandy if he wasn't already part of the good old boy network. He says, well, now, I know how this man thinks. Here's what he is. He's a Democrat, okay, which I have no problems with Democrats. I used to be one, you know, unfortunately. But I'm a conservative, first and foremost. Party, forget it. So, you know, and it was my father's democracy, you know, that kind of Democratic Party anyway. And I'm thinking, you know, here you are, millions and millions of dollars. Your friends already raced back and forth to D.C. already, run half of this state, if not more so. Mm-hmm. And you think that I'm going to vote you into a position of power where not only you give my neighbors more clout or whatever over us, based on the fact that they rent from your property and give us grief on a daily basis, and I'm going to put you in a position of, you know, designating where these millions of dollars in grant funds go. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
So he was running against this other guy who basically looked like a little crawfish with his little symbol, which was kind of cute, but they both ended up losing. The two people who were in this little financial struggle for this great grant money in this county lost tonight, which could have been the best thing that could have ever happened. Yes, as much as we fretted, we got a phone call saying that they had lost. And, oh, the worry and the grief over, you know, how much power this man would have to allocate these funds from these guys from D.C. and, you know, where it was going to go, like, to pave my gravel road, which is, you know, most of the time mud or dirt, was not going to be something that I wanted to be involved with. So I didn't vote for the man. I didn't vote for the guy who won, and I didn't vote for the incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you see, so I went in there and I did this consciously, and I thought, okay, whoever is doing this next has got to be doing a better job than either one of the first two would have done.
Ah.
And that's the guy who won. So, you know, I mean, you know, if you, and that comes down to the example of, you know, all politics being local.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at it and I thought, gee, you know, if you did this with everyone that you elect to any kind of post, whether it had anything to do with a judicial executive position for a county or a state representative or even the president, God forbid, they'd have to be making better decisions than the idiots that are doing it now.
Well, you think.
Well, that's what's happening. And it happened here, you know, in the county. It happened counties, you know, next to us. It happened in the state, and it's going to happen in D.C. You know, and that's what I saw today. That's really why I'm happy. It wasn't so much that, you know, the Tea Party, you know, favorite one. It's the fact that the guys who used to do it didn't.
Yeah.
And Mitch McConnell, I'm going to tell you, I wanted to know exactly how long it was going to take for that guy to turn tail and back him. It took less than an hour.
Huh.
And I thought, you little weasel, the next election, I'm voting your happy butt out of there, too.
Cool.
Works for me.
Yeah,
worked for me, too, because it took him less than an hour, because somebody had tweeted, you know, well, where were you backing him when, you know, it was, you know, now that he's won for, you know, the November runoff, why weren't you backing him before now? And it's like, yeah, good point. Why weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Because you got your head up, you know, somebody's butt in D.C., you know, to keep your job, then I think it's time for you to not be having that job.
Yeah.
Well, we need, you know, there's the leadership on the GOP side is, you know, is as it's not a matter of even being suspect. I mean, you know, they need to go.
Otis is guilty as the next guy.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Especially
how
here.
To get rid of them.
You know.
But, you need to. You know, I'm going to switch gears here just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back for a few minutes about the euro.
Oh, gee. What a mess.
William,
as much as
I would like to suggest that the euro experiment has shown that Europe can at least work together to a degree, you know, I think it was strictly, you know, momentum and, you know, a desire to make it look like it worked. I don't know that there was anything. Can we say that there was anything structurally sound about the euro?
No, there wasn't. They brought the idea up before they instituted it. There was nothing concrete for anybody to rely on the fact that it was going to work when they brought the idea up to start with. Not that I could tell. I mean, if you guys could see, you know, something,
no,
I'll be happy to hear it.
My original point of view on the euro way back when was that anything that kept, you know, Europe from, you know, trying to slit each other's throats was going to be a good thing.
That was my problem
again. You know, and I thought, well, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I was used to there being a peso and a yen and a dollar and a ruble, you know. So it was not, and of course, you know, Bill being in banking, and of course I have my little banking and experience there too, for, you know, for checking a drawer, but no less, you know, I was used to, you know, money exchanges and exchange rates, and, you know, I knew things that were standard currency, you know, on a daily basis. You know, I mean, you simply looked at the thing and there it was. You know, when the euro started being, yeah, when the euro started being a topic, I thought, how are they going to assess its value? How are they going
that
to?
That wasn't my problem. That wasn't my problem because, from an economics point of view, paper is paper.
Yeah, true, commercial paper is just commercial paper.
No, I'm talking
about currency is
just paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's at the
sovereign
level.
The commodity
level,
in which you transfer.
Right, at the sovereign level, you're just dealing with, you know, paper,
which ought to be backed by gold.
Call it. My problem was, and it appears to be the problem that is going to ultimately kill it, was that there was just going to be too much sovereignty, you know, given up in order to make it work.
By individual nations, yeah, the
you know,
Germans.
That's our problem that we have in this country.
Right.
Is, you know, it's not, frankly, the vast majority of conservatives don't care if the government gets big.
Right.
You know, let's be perfectly honest about it. You know, right now there's a whole pissed off bunch of people, but there's probably only, you know, 10 or 15 million people at the most in this country that are truly pissed off about the idea of big government. The rest of them, I don't care.
Yeah.
Or it's just one little thing that doesn't bother them. They're not all lit up like we are.
As long as people can continue to do whatever they want, how they want, when they want, where they want, they don't care that government keeps taking bigger chunks of money out of their pocket.
Exactly.
Yeah, eventually they're not going to be able to do that when that happens, though. They don't see it.
No, the United States citizenship is a frog in a pot of cold water.
Really?
Yeah.
Really.
And you know, the problem has been that, you know, no matter who it is, the heat has been turned up very, very, very gradually. Obama just said, I can do this faster, and just turned up the heat really fast. That's the only problem.
I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm just so fired up today. But listen, do you think you know, yesterday the Gibby came out. Did you hear the Gibby talking about how he wasn't paying all that much attention to the election?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to pay attention now?
No.
No, I don't either.
Well, he won't pay attention, but it was a flat-out lie that he wasn't paying attention.
Sure it was. Come on. And I thought, oh, you know, you evil little Gibby thing. Come on, you know. But, I just couldn't believe that, you know, some of the stupid stuff that they tell you. It's like, what? You know. It's like that baby commercial, the E-Trade baby. A milk, a what? You know.
Yeah.
I can't believe you just said that. I don't think the little dictator much cares.
He doesn't. I really don't think he does.
He's going to
have to care starting, you know, next January. But for the moment, I don't think.
Oh, it's because his butt's in a sling. Everybody else is expendable.
No, I think at this particular point, you know, Bill and I have had this conversation on the show. Okay. But I'm going to repeat it here. My problem with liberals is not that their principles are weird.
Right.
My problem with liberals are not that they want something that we don't want.
Right.
My problem with liberals is that when they look at the world, they don't see the same one we do.
Right. They float across the spectrum back and forth.
You know, and I told the story, and I'm going to repeat it here because it's just us three.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point in time where we had an apartment that had a maid's quarters, which was a very small little bathroom and bedroom off of the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever Victoria wasn't feeling well, she would bail to that little bedroom. Because sometimes my snoring would be, used that bedroom. I never used it. Never, didn't use the bathroom, didn't use the bedroom. Simply because literally it was half size.
I'm sure.
And I'm not even, you know, I'm not even three quarter size. You know, I'm sized in half.
Yeah.
So it was just too small. One day, I noticed, I said to Victoria, I said, you know, we really need to clean that carpet. And she goes, why? I said, because, you know, the soda stains have gotten pretty bad. And she looked at me and she goes, well, you know, why do you keep spilling soda in there? And I said, okay, one, I think I've slept in that room one night.
Yeah.
Two, I don't drink soda at night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
or
keep
in the
a
bedroom.
Soda near my bed at night.
Right.
Someone else does.
Yeah.
You know, I said,
we
so
shall be nameless.
I don't know where you think I could have spilled soda in there, having slept there once and not with the soda. She goes, well, I
That's
didn't.
Funny. The royal family here at the castle does all that crap all the time. It's amazing.
But she said,
the stuff I know I don't do.
I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and my problem was she looked at me and I went, okay, is this a person that's lying through their teeth and knows it? Or is this a person that goes, not me?
Uh-huh.
She absolutely positively believed she didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah. Mm.
That's the problem with liberals.
Yep.
Right.
Barack Obama is walking around today in the White House, and people are telling him Tea Parties are nothing. There's only 10 or 15,000 people. You know, it's AstroTurf. You know, it might be 100,000 people around the whole country. It's nothing. It means nothing. And Barack Obama's going, okay.
Yeah. Let me take
that
to
big issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the man's going to have a bigger issue come January than he ever even thought he was going to buy.
And you and I and people that we understand go, that's delusional. They go, that's reality. And we're like, no, it's delusional. And they go, no, it's reality. And all you have to do is pay attention to the way the people act. When they say things on there and you go, how can you look at the world and think for a second that your observations have any basis in reality?
You know, yeah. I had a great example of that last night and today on Twitter, of a guy that just did not see anything at all wrong with a 15-story mosque and learning center.
Oh, holy mother of Pete.
Saw absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Oh.
Just didn't. And he said, you know, if you want to protest about a synagogue or a Protestant church or something like that, feel free. But there is nothing wrong with that. And I'm saying, man, we're looking at the same thing and seeing two different things.
Oh, and then the Miss USA thing.
Yeah, you know. So it's like, yeah, I mean, liberals are like that. They just don't see the world the same way that we see it.
Well, not only that, it's worse. They want to convert you. You know, just leave us alone. Good luck with that part.
Yeah.
Go away. Live in your own little lib world. And don't bother us. But don't go about doing that and then, you know, keep, you know, us, you know, every breath we take.
Mm-hmm.
People will only take so much.
Yep.
And see,
right.
Frankly, you know, as far as the mosque is concerned,
mm-hmm.
My particular approach was, you know, if they want to build a mosque there, I'm kind of okay about it, but I'd certainly like to buy two other lots really, really close to the mosque.
Exactly.
And start a butcher shop and a speakeasy.
Yeah,
ooh,
the ham store.
That'd be good. Yeah.
Uh-huh. That works
and
for me
and
too.
Maybe a strip
I mean, what's
club.
Fair is fair, right? You know, they've got to eat something.
I kind of like to, you know, have a butcher shop that smokes ham all the time.
Yep.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that we could commission some public works of art featuring pigs.
That would be lovely. I should start on that at once.
Yeah. You know, that would be
you know
good.
Because I happen to have a thing for pigs. My kitchen has pigs in it.
Oh, yeah? Yeah,
yeah, little kitchen pigs. You know how, like, these women have roosters and cows. Pammy has pigs.
Yep.
And, you know, I saw that ham thing, you know, when you tweeted it, Tracy, you know, and I'm thinking, man, you know, I really, as much as I am against the iconicism of terrorism, just by virtue of who I am, one of the best pieces of work I ever did was on the Oklahoma City bombing.
Hmm.
And I'm thinking, you know, I'm really going to start getting into this bloody mayhem, explosive kind of destructive sort of terroristic art thing just to show people what it looks like. You know,
you could start out with a bomb for a hat, huh?
I wouldn't put a bomb on your hat, honey.
No, 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 no.
Oh.
A bomb on the hat for Dra Mohammed Day.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I could. Yeah, with a little piggy nose.
There you go.
You know, some ears maybe. You know, a little curly tail. It'd be cute if it had real, you know, real one for a tea party. You know, you could push the little button and it squeaks.
Hmm.
You know, goes oink, oink
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
See? You know, yeah, see, six minutes, you know. But now, liberals can think this way. And it's perfectly acceptable under the guise of artistic expression with dung on paper. Oh, how lovely. But I think that I really am going to start doing that kind of thing. And, you know, maybe if I can't get it in a couple of galleries between, you know, one coast and the next.
Yep. Tracy, I like your idea. I do.
I do like that idea.
I like
that.
Because
if it's fair.
Yeah, but
come on.
The other thing is we could have the first fully functional pig farm.
Yeah, I like that idea, too.
Yeah, no, I don't like that idea.
Or maybe a piggy zoo.
Hey, they're easy. I mean, you know, there's a reason that pigs were called the mortgage lifter during the Depression.
Pork. There's a reason it's called pork.
Yeah.
You know, bacon share, what do they call them, Bill? Bacon futures.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, hog belly futures. There
yeah, hog bellies, that's right, pork bellies. That's right, yeah, it was the bacon futures. It, you know, well, of course, that's probably gone to hell in a handbasket, too. I don't know. You know, we're going to have to seriously do something. But, you know, if they're going to build a mosque there, you know, and then, that Mojave, the Mojave Cross disappeared.
Oh, yeah. Anybody find that yet, or anybody?
No.
That yet, or what?
Nothing. Zip, and they've got a reward on it. Oh, and two, I saw on Twitter, you know, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm link happy. And, of course, that means I have to, consistently scan and, you know, disinfect my computer. But I'm link happy, and I did read about a link today that someone had done the research through the Border Patrol, and one of the guys that did 20 years of Border Patrol was saying that 8 to 12%, I'm pretty sure this is accurate, 8 to 12% of the illegals crossing up from Mexico come from Somalia, Yemen, the Middle East nations, you know, Pakistan, Afghanistan, you know, that we have real terrorists walking up across the stinking border. And what they do is it was scary. They put out this Arabic language translator book on how to learn to speak Spanish so that they can cross up in from Chile, and Venezuela, and come up through there into Mexico, blend in with the indigenous Mexicans, and come on through to, you know, Arizona and Texas and, unfortunately, California.
Hmm.
Yeah.
My last word on the mosque.
Okay.
Is that I think we should allow them to build the biggest mosque in New York City in that place for two reasons. One, whatever gets built at the World Trade Center is not likely to be attacked again.
True.
And two, if that mosque is really big, then we know where they're all going to be at any one given time.
That's true.
Oh,
And
three, in the guise of being spiritual, imagine all of those ghosts that are going to inhabit the place from just having to walk from ground zero to the little mosque.
Oh, well, you know, do you know, I don't think I've ever said this to either, Pammy, you might know this, because we've had a couple of side conversations. Do you know that I cannot get within a mile of the Vietnam Vet Memorial?
It wouldn't surprise me any. I couldn't walk on Gettysburg. I have freak out episodes.
When they had the mobile miniature going around, I couldn't get into downtown Chicago. I couldn't get within a mile of that place. It was like physically hitting a wall.
Yes,
for me.
Old soldiers in your way. That's what it is.
It was just like, you know, it was just, you know, Tracy, you're not going there.
Yeah. Old soldiers.
And there are places where I walk, where I stop, and I look around and go, not a good place.
No.
Not a good place.
Yeah, I've done that.
I have a hard time looking at the Vietnam Vet Memorial on TV.
Yeah.
Oh, I could imagine. You know, and we're very historical. You know, we've traveled a bit, and we've gone to, you know, of all things, battlefields. Oh, try taking me to a battlefield. Let me tell you, if I don't,
I've been to Ground Zero twice.
Well,
I couldn't
do
it.
I've been to Ground Zero twice.
You're a better woman than me. I couldn't do it.
And I've looked at it and go, and it doesn't have that terror that I would expect. It doesn't. I don't know why. What I get when I go there is an incredibly strong sadness. It's not depression.
I'm sure.
It's not a fear. It's not a terror. It's just a
weeping.
it's not the sobbing sadness. It's the kind that you would get from somebody that, that has decided that it's time to move on, and so they
they're helpless. There's nothing they can do.
They're leaving because that was the decision they made. They're leaving, and but they're leaving so much behind that, that no matter the fact that the choice has been made, it's just a deep sorrow in the leaving, and that's the feeling I get at Ground Zero, and it's kind of weird.
I can imagine.
I haven't tried to put it in any particular firm because it's, I look at it and go, why is it sad?
Yeah, I get that. I get that with old soldiers, and we had a couple of things where, there was just stuff going on, and it was all just total tragic, out of our control kind of crisis stuff. And we had to deal with the Salvation Army. And, I had to indicate that, I was in a position where I had to be the recipient of a yearly Salvation Army grant from them, bestowed upon my household. This was before we moved here, and the kids were little. And the king had been having these dreams about old soldiers, and he kept telling me about this. And he'd say, I don't know what's going on, he says, but, I'm having these really weird dreams. And he says, but it's always old soldiers. And he says, and Pam, it's not just, one group of soldiers. He says, I'm talking about, some from the Revolutionary War, some in uniforms I don't recognize, just this bunch of guys in a group, these soldiers. And they keep telling me things will be okay, is the impression I get, and I kept thinking, this was years before ever this Salvation Army issue ever even arose. And I kept thinking, well, gee, that's weird, because he's had these kind of dreams, where, like, even involving WTC and stuff and the Concorde crash, and he's just very, he dreams prophetically. And, I'm hearing about these old soldiers, and I'm thinking, okay, on and on, and every once in a while. And all of a sudden, we're getting ready to deal with these Salvation Army folks, who it's, the people that, you deal with when your house burns down, that, kind of disaster. So, I'm waiting for this reply from these people. I didn't even know that this, issue was available. I didn't know it was going to even be an option. The chances were a million to one that we would even be accepted to be receiving this. It was a Christmas thing that they do every year. And the kids were little, and we were helpless to give them a Christmas. So I had written to them, and I explained the problem, and eventually we get this reply. Well, the night before the letter comes in the mail, or the phone call, I believe, he comes, downstairs, and he goes, I had this dream about the old soldiers again. And I said, different soldiers or the same ones? And he said, no, it's the same ones, some from the Civil War, some from the Spanish War. He said, just these guys. They're just, and they just told me finally that, the answer was yes, it was going to be okay. And I said, well, they've been telling you it's going to be okay, but it's the first time they've said yes. So let's see what happens. About an hour later, the phone rings, and it's these people telling us that we had been bestowed upon their annual Christmas giveaway for our kids. They came, and to come and bring a truck on a certain day. And they supplied everything. I mean, they supplied like 6 months of groceries, like beds for the girls, mattresses. I mean, you would not believe. It took like 3 truckloads of stuff. Our living room was filled, where it wouldn't have been possible without them. But it was the old soldiers, and he kept saying, I was dreaming about these old soldiers. They must have known, that this was going to happen way before we ever even did, because, I've been dreaming of this so long. He had dreamt it for years, like 5 or 6 years, every once in a while. And finally, and then he never had the dream about the old soldiers again after that happened.
All right.
It was really creepy. I mean, for somebody that, has that kind of sense of things, you know, like, you know, you walk on someone's grave or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm here.
He's sleeping.
Show is off.
It's late.
Okay.
Show is off.
I'm going to go because I think my phone is going to die. And
okay.
I can talk to you guys all night.
You too. I'm
all right.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
I missed when it went off, but I, you know, I would suggest to you probably on the half hour.
Ah, okay. Okay. We never know with them.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right.
Okay.
Have an evening.
You too. Have a good one. We will talk
to
you later.
Bye.